Hanukkah Sameach. Boker Tov World, today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Tzadi He. And we're holding right after the Mishnah, Tzadi Dalet Amud Beit, still at the Gemara at the beginning. And
No sound.
Is that? Maybe it's going to hear.
Okay, sound seems to be back. Can Rebbe say something?
This testing?
Yes.
Okay, but I was wearing an ear thing. Didn't realize that the computer captures the computer also. Sorry about that. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Tzadi He. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah. Actually, we're holding at the Gemara right after the Halakha Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Beit. And we learned in the Mishnah that since the chiyuv is to do the washing of a beged that had the dab chatas on it, we have to do it. It says v'chipso b'makom kadosh. It has to be done inside of the azara. So if it went out of the azara, you'd have to bring it back in. The same thing would be true about the merika v'shtifa of the kelim, or about the shvira of the klicheras. So the Mishnah spoke about a number of cases in which you wouldn't be able to bring it back in the way it was because it became tummy. So the question is, how are you going to be mekayim the mitzvah? So when it came to a beged, it said in the Mishnah that we should tear it, and after tearing it, it'll now be batal. The tumah will be batal because it won't have a shame beged, and then you'll bring it in, and then you'll wash it. So that was one case. Then we had the other case. What happened if a klicheres was brought outside and became tummy? How are you going to break it without breaking it? So if you break it, that was no problem. If you break it in order to get rid of its tumah, then you already became the mitzvah in the wrong place. You can only break it by makom kadosh. That was the same problem we had the beged. You can't put it in a mikveh, because if you put it in a mikveh, you're already going to be washing it. So what are you going to do? So, okay, so with the beged, we had the idea, tear it. With the klicheres, we come up with the idea of putting a small hole through it, which takes away its tumah, but doesn't take away its shem kli, which we're going to discuss in the Gemara. And what about a metal kli, where we have a dinner marika v'shtifas b'makom kodesh, and it became tameh? So we said over there, you have to bust it. Whatever that means, we'll see in the Gemara, and then we can bring it in. So the obvious question in all of these cases is that what it is that you're doing in order to make it possible to bring it in seems to be depriving it of its mitzvah anyway. Because, I mean, look, the Torah said to break the beged. If you tore it up to pieces, it's no longer the beged, is it? Same thing is true about the kli. So it's not going to be the same thing that you're chayav to do the mitzvah on. So now how are you going to be mekayim the mitzvah? If you have a busted up kli, then you can't be mekayim that mitzvah because it's not a kli. Maskev la Ravina. So this is basically the different questions that we have now. Ravina said, how could you say, Korah, oh, the Torah is telling me to rip up, I have to clean it off the beged, and the Mishnah is telling me to rip it up in order to be able to bring it back in so that there won't be a problem with its tumah, but then it's not going to be the beged. And the Torah said specifically that you should be mechabes the beged. So, asher yizeh midama al ha-beged. Asher Yizel. Well, where's that beged? If it's torn up, it's not the beged. Well, the answer is, says the Mishnah, the Mishayer Bekedei Ma'aforet. You don't cut it into totally different pieces. You leave the amount that is usable for a Ma'aforet to put around your neck, and that would be sufficient to give it a shame of a beged. But you ripped it in such a way that its rove has been ripped. And once the rove is ripped, it's no longer considered to be the beged that was nitma, in which case you would not have a problem with bringing it up. And since there's enough here to be called a beged, it's not that beged anymore, and therefore doesn't have that tumah, but it's the beged, a beged, and therefore I went ahead and I washed a beged. So I left that amount. Says the Gemara, but if you leave that amount, did you actually take off the tumah? Because, I mean, you're saying it's possible to separate out the two issues. we can not destroy its Shem Beged and yet still be able to remove the Tumah. Is that really true? I mean, didn't Rav Huna say in Kalim, when we were learning Kalim, so the Mishnah over there said that if most of it, if Rove of it was ripped, then it's considered to be tar. But Rav Huna explained that Mishnah, and he said that's only lo shanu ela shlo shir bagadei ma'aforet. So only if there's not enough left over in it that you had the shear of the ma'aforet. But you're telling me I have to leave the shear of a ma'aforet. A ma'aforet is like Doc's red kerchief, you know. So that is a minimum shear that if you leave it, says Rav Huna, it won't even lose its tumah. Avoshir b'kadei ma'aforet, that's all considered to be a chibur, despite the fact that rove of it was ripped up. I don't understand. So you're not able to get both of it done. It's one or the other. Either you take away the Shem Tumah, in which case you took away the Shem Beged, or you didn't take away the Shem Beged, in which case you didn't take away the Tumah. So I don't understand what's happening over here in this Mishnah. Says the Gemara, you're 100% right, except what you don't understand is that what Rav Huna was saying was a Chumrah min Rabbana. The Chumrah min Rabbana is that we consider it to be tummy, but it isn't really tummy. Midiraisa, as soon as Rov was torn, it's no longer tummy. And in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of the Diyaraisa, obviously we're going to go according to the Diyaraisa. The fact that the Rabbanan in other circumstances would tell you, treat it as if it's Tamei. Okay, what can you do? But there's no problem in being Mekayim, this mitzvah, in terms of the Diyaraisa. The next case you said, if you've got a Klicheres that you cooked it in, so then if it becomes Tamei outside, you can't bring it in, you put a hole into it. Put a hole into it? No kvo, but then we've got the same problem. Then it's not a kli. It says kli cheres, yishaver. Where's the kli? You just busted it from the shem kli by putting the hole in it. So again, we're sort of stuck between a rock and a cheres and a hard place. Answers the Gemara. What you can do is you can make a hole, but only the hole of a shoresh katan. So there were different levels of holes that are mevatel, the shem kli, or that are mevatel, the shem tuma. So if you have just a hole the size of a shoresh katan, so it allows a tiny root of a plant that would be growing inside that flower pot, would be able to come out, so then you make just enough of a hole, and this is a shiur, which we called over there, and when we were learning the dinim of Kalim, it's a shear of kones mashka. So basically, if the shear is such that the putting it down on top of a actual wet, you put it into a water, not just into something damp, but put it into water, then the question is, at what point the water is going to actually be going to come into the hole? So if something is able to prevent larger things from falling out, remember we had different shiurim for different types of containers, but let's say you'd be able to put into it peirot and things like that, and it still holds those things. So then it would still be called a kli. So that's what you do. You just make enough of a shear that it loses its shem tumah, but then it can be a kli because you could be miyakin it for kalim. And the next thing that you said, kli de choshet, that you bust it, popochato. But if you bust it, so then it's not a kli at all, isn't it? V'alav klihu, and it says kli, they're beferish. Well, you take a hammer and you seal it back up again once you brought it in. You seal it back up so that now it has a shem kli, and then you wash it out with the mrik of a shtifa. Omer Ish Lakish, what do you do in the case of the me'il? Now here we got a problem. So suppose the me'il of the Kohen Gadol got dam from a chatas on it, and it was outside, and it became tummy. What do you do then? Because one of the Tariq mitzvahs in the Torah is lo yikareya. You're not allowed to tear the me'il. In which case, if it became Tame, how are you going to bring it back in? The other begadim that we spoke about, you were able to remove the tumah from them, not by putting them in a mikveh, because that would be a kivus, and then you would be doing it not b'makom kadosh, but by tearing them. But the me'il, you can't tear. What do you do then? Well, the only thing to do, remember, is that we said before, you don't really have to wash the entire begad. You only have to wash the part that has the blood splattered on it, right? So if that's the case, if you bring in less than 3 by 3 etzba'ot, remember the difference in the zachar v'nekeva here is very important. If we say shalosh al shalosh, it means 3 by 3 etzba'ot, which is a minimum shiur for any type of material. And shalosha al shalosha is a larger shiur, but that is referring to tvachim. I talked about that before, but again, the Rambam pshit over here, what it says in the Mishnah, because he says, shlesha shlesha is the only time that you can be, have a machshava to be metameh. We talked about that yesterday. So if you bring in less than 3 by 3 etzba'ot at a time, and you put that into the doorway of the azara, so that you have just that little piece that's inside, you wash that off. If there's any more dam, you could bring in another 3 by 3 piece and wash it off. By that point, if you get off all of the dam, never bringing in the tumah enough to be metame in the azara, so then you go ahead and then you can be tevel it, and then you can bring it back in. Meanwhile, you were mekayim the mitzvah of kivus b'makom kadosh. So that should be the solution for the me'il. Ma'asev revada barava, that doesn't work. Because Lamaisa, we learned in Kalim that if you've got thick things, ha'avin, or you've got thin cloth, those dinim do not go according to the cloth of sholosh al sholosh. Because sholosh al sholosh is something that is only usable. It's very tiny. I mean, what are you going to do with a little patch like that? You'll use it for a patch, exactly. So that's only tameh because it's usable for a patch. How about if you have very thick kind of material? You can't use thick material for a patch. And you'd have to therefore have a useful for patch material to be tameh. Or let's say it's something that is delicate material. You can't use delicate material for a patch either because of the whole point of the patch is going to hold things together. So therefore, you don't get anything thicker than the me'il. I mean, that was incredibly thick because you had to have every single one of them had to be kofel shtemesre. So you're not going to be able to use it as a patch, in which case there's no shear of shalash al shalash. So how does Rish Lakish say that if it's going to be brought in less than shalash al shalash, you should be able to bring in a lot more than that, you should be able to bring in shlosha al shlosha. So why did Reish Lakish get confused and insist that you have to bring in shlosh al shlosh? That's because agav aviyim chashive. You're right. If you have a little tiny piece of cloth that's very thick, what are you going to do with it? In this case, we don't really have a little tiny piece, do we? I mean, we've got a big me'il. We're just putting in a small part of the big me'il. So there you can't say that it's not choshev if it's more than 3 by 3 etzba'ot. It is, because it's part of a big me'il. So agav aviyim chashive. So therefore, even though lemaisa, if it were cut up into pieces, you'd be right. We'd be able to bring in shlosha al shlosha. But as is, you're limited exactly as Reish Lakish said. You have to limit it to less than 3 by 3 etzba'ot, which is shalosh al shalosh. I got an overall question on this whole thing. My overall question is, as we're going to see, washing out blood, we learned that out from the Mishnah in Nida that talks about how it is that you can remove body fluids that are tameh. How do you get rid of that tumah in a baguette? And this is also very nogea in determining whether what type of material it is that has caused the stain, because we have what is known as a sequential cleaning with Shiva Samamanim. So we have seven different Samamanim that we apply. And these things, when you apply them in that precise order, they are able to wash out dam and remove it completely. But that would mean that you would need to use those seven different types of material and in order to get the dam out of the beged of the chatas. But the problem is, as Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Bar Avuha points out, that whether you're talking about the dam of the Nida and the Mishnah Nida, you're talking about the dam of a chatas that's sprinkled on a beged, or if you're talking about the Mar'ot Negaim, where the Torah says you have to wash out the Nega completely, those things all need Tzrichin Shiv'at Samimanim. So that means that you need to have all of them, including Rok Tafel, Megrisim, Kamunia, Borit, Neter, Ashlag. These are things that we still use today. Some of them, it is certainly Ashlag is big, is a big business, but it may not be the same thing that we call Ashlag today. But in any event, one of the seven is urine that has been allowed to become ammonia, and you have to use that. But you're not allowed to bring urine into the Beis HaMikdash because, remember, as we say every day, V'tanya elash ein machnisi meraglayim b'azara mipnei hakavod. So if you're not allowed to bring in urine, how in the world can we use the Shiva Samamanim since one of the Shiva Samamanim is meraglayim? V'chi tema the Mivla Lubad Shiva Simamoni. Now maybe you'll say, oh, well, it's okay, because you could put these all together and then you'll be Mavato, the urine in the rest of it. And you do it all at one time. You don't do it sequentially. So then it's not going to be usher to bring in the urine. But nan heavy run shaloki sidran. Problem is that we're going to see right here. And that the din is, there Anita had said, if you put it in the wrong sequence, that doesn't bother me. But the next piece is ridiculous. That makes it impossible. Or you mix them all together and you put them all on at the same time. It doesn't do a darn thing. So if that's the case, you don't have the etza of combining them, because then they're not going to be able to remove the dam of the chatas. So we seem to be stuck. We can't bring in the urine separately, and we can't mix them all together. Now, maybe you'll tell me, well, maybe you just can't mix them all together, but maybe you could put in one with one other. So maybe we could mix the urine with one of the other things, because the Mishnah didn't say you can't mix any of them. That also, nope. That also is not going to work, because the Mishnah also says, maybe you'll mix the urine in with one of the other ingredients. The Mishnah also says that you must be mechaskes shalosh pa'amim b'kol echad v'echad. That you have to be mechaskes. We learned about mechaskes means rubbing when you're doing a kibbutz. And you have to do three minimal rubs with each separate one of these samamanim, which means that you cannot have the urine mixed with anything else. You're going to have to still do kiskus with urine alone, but you can't bring in the urine alone. So what do? Well, it works out very well with the way Reish Lakish has explained it, because one of those things was the rok tafel. More explains the rok tafel, the saliva that's been in your mouth all night, doesn't have any food taste in it, and so on. So that is, according to Reish Lakish, the rok tafel is not considered to be a separate samamanim. You have to mix that with every one of these ingredients. So even though when we say that it's done three times with each one, but then that would mean that before you put it onto the actual dam, it would have to have been mixed in with the rok tafel. So then that means the three times that I rub it in urine doesn't mean I rub it in urine alone. It means that I rub it mixed with roch tafel, that particular ingredient. So if that's the case, I could be mevatel the urine in roch tafel. Bringing us to our missing Sir Richard. He was here before,
right,
in the flesh, not only in the name.
Momentary lapse, not a problem.
Now, let's learn about the dinim of the bishul. So, remember we said that you have to do the... Actually, we had a machlokas I just want to remind you about. And that is whether Aliba Rashi's approach, remember, the din of the dam is what the Mishnah was referring to when it said that this is unique to the chatas, right? Zeh chomor by chatas and then he kodshe kodoshim. But when it came to shviras klicheres, and when it came to marika v'shtifa, as we're going to see in this Mishnah, the marika v'shtifa has to be done with anything, maybe even with kachim kalim. We'll see that in the Mishnah, even though we spoke about it earlier. And we mentioned yesterday that the Rambam learns that it's not only the dam issue that was unique for the chatas. It was also the shviras kli cheres that was unique for the chatas. So this raises a question. Now remember, marika v'shtifa could be a minimum, in which case any type of kli has a minimum requirement for marika v'shtifa, and the chatas has a special chiyuv that you have to bust it. Now, l'chora, the point in that is, as we know, is the concept of kli cheres eino yotze midei dofyo la'olam, which is a Gavi rule, which I'm assuming that he already has written down, but if not, certainly has his magic wand with him. And that would mean that a kli cheres never, there's no way to get it to release something that was not kosher that it absorbed. And we're going to see more about that today. So now the question is, according to the Rambam, if the issue in the dinim of bishul over here has to do with the question of absorption, which seems to be certainly correct, as we'll see. We're going to raise the question of what about if you cook in a kli, but there's no absorption, which we'll talk about the case later. If you have actual absorption in a kli cheres, so when the Rambam says there's no din of shviras kli cheres other than by chatas, but not by other kodshei kodashim, so what does that mean? Does that mean that you do marika v'shtifa and that would be enough, despite the fact that there is no way to completely purge it of its iser? But then that should be like sort of a contradiction to the whole idea that we've had about kli cheres in a yotzi midei dofyo. So why would it be kosher? Why would it be kosher for using this kli cheres again if it can't be maflit? So it could be. So there's a number of different approaches. And the Meisen, the Chazon Ish, he's tainus that the Rambam never meant that you can actually reuse it. All that it meant was is that if you're not intending to reuse it, there's no chiev to break it. Mashenkin, when it comes to the chatas, there's actually a chiev to break it. But others learn that what's left is there's still the possibility of marika v'shtifa, which reduces the tam of the noser to the point that it's nechlash and no longer becomes a tam of iser. Do we have such a concept? Yes, we do. We have a concept of not par not. So we know that in places where there's a hachlashat tam, it doesn't end up becoming, in certain cases, won't end up becoming a asked a dover that answers something else. Why? Because it's only a notin tam bar notin tam. So basically, the other Mefarshim suggests that maybe the Rambam Sfora is that reducing the kayach of the tam in a kli cheres, legabe, this halacha is enough to make it like the equivalent of a not bar not. I mean, there's going to be a lot of nafkaminas in this because, look, I mean, the question is, how about things that wouldn't be asur min ha-Torah? Let's say it's nosei tam livgam, right? Now, here we're talking about it's on the same day, but what if it would be nosei tam livgam? Or maybe midiraisa, if min b'mina is batal berov. So then all of these dinim are the rabbanans. Don't be mevatel l'chatchila. You need shishim for min b'mina. And we don't allow you to use a kli l'chatchila where it's not a ben yoma and so on and so forth. Those are the rabbanans. So if l'maisa, the Rambam is saying that there's a din of chalisha satam, it will make a lot of nafkaminas la'alocha how to understand the use of this kli cheres, according to the Rambam, in cases where midiraisa, so there's no problem of reuse, you see? So it makes a tremendous difference in how you're understanding it. The way that the Chazon Ish understands it is that there was no particular heter, it's just telling me I'm not chuyev to break it if I don't intend to use it. All right, so now let's talk about how about if you didn't really cook? It says, Asher tevushalbo. Does it mean it literally needs to be cooked? Or do the dinim of kashrus that we find in other places, let's say I have what's called iroi kli rishon, right? So if I'm pouring out whatever I cooked, let's say I cooked a cholent made out of the basar of the chatas. So now if I pour that into a serving dish, which is made out of cheres, so do I have to break that cheres? Is that what we're talking about? Or if it's metal, I'll have to wash it out. What would be the din? So actually, echad shebishelbo, ve'echad she'ira letocho roteach, doesn't matter whether you cooked in it literally or you just poured directly from the kli that had been on the esh. So you cooked, you threw from a kli rishon, you poured out the cholent into this, and it doesn't matter, according to the Tanakhama, whether it's kachim kachim or whether it's kachim kalim, it would still require marika v'shtifa. And here is where we get to that machlokas. And according to Rashi, it means, and even though the Mishnah doesn't discuss it, we would require shviras kli cheres. Whereas according to the Rambam, shviras kli cheres is only said by chatas and not by anything else. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, kachim kalim are not in Bechlal included in this din of Marika Vishtifa and Inan to Unin Marika Vishtifa. So therefore, even though other Kachim Kachim are included, but not Kachim Kalim. All right, I mean, so what do we do with the Kachim Kalim? Whatever, maybe we'll use it after. It's now Nosin Tam Livgam. But the point is that I don't need to do Marika Vishtifa, which has all kinds of special dinim, as we're going to see. I don't need to do it properly. And if I'm not going to use it, bichlal, so then I'm not b'chuyev to do it. It's not like a mitzvah that needs to be done the way it is for kachim kachim. So now the complications over here, if you want to take a look at all of the dinim together, so if you're talking about the dinim of the chatas, then we are clear. When it comes to the chatas, you're going to have to do shvira of kli cheres, and you'll have to do marika v'shtifa on other type of kalim. Okay. If you're talking about other types of kachim, so then we have a machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam, about whether you need to do Barnea wants me to rub some kind of magic genie thing out of here. Apparently he doesn't like the way I'm explaining the Gemara. Okay, Barnea, we'll get the genie. So if you're talking about the chatas, fine. Then everything is clear. How about if you're talking about other kachim? So then we run into a machlokas, Rashi and a Rambam, about whether there's a din of shviras kli cheres, as Rashi assumes here in the Mishnah, echad kachim kachim, echad kachim kalim. according to the Rambam, that is not true. It's a din only in the Chatas, and as far as Marika V'Shtifa is concerned, that is true. And if you're talking about Kachim Kalim, then Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, there's no din of either Marika V'Shtifa by other Kachim, and certainly there's no din of the Shviras Klicheres. Okay, so that is a little bit, we have to put together the various Shittot. Tanurabana. Now, it says Beferish in the Torah, Asher Tevushal Bo. Now, that seems to imply, I mean, we thought that it meant that you have to actually cook in it. So, Klicheres Asher Tevushal Bo Yishaver. So, how do we know if you didn't cook in it? Any Allah should be Shelbo. How about if you poured in Eroi Kli Risha? So, how would I know that that too is included? Minayim. Talmud Lomar, Asher Tevushalbo Yishaver. So what is the point over here? Asher Tevushalbo Yishaver. Because since it says it in that Lashon, and it actually puts together the Yishaver next to the word bo, instead of saying the same thing that it says in the next pasuk about the Kli Nechoshes, it could have said, Im Bekli Cheres Tevushal Yishaver. That's the Lashon, Im Bekli Nechoshes Tevushal. So why didn't you use that same Lashon? Because we want Bo to be next to Tishaver to tell me that Bo, if the taste got into it, then Yishaver. In which case, if the taste is absorbed because of Iroi Kli Rishon, even though the actual cooking wasn't in it, it would also be Yishaver. Ah, says Rami Bar Choma. So if that's the case, then Bo seems to be saying that if it's inside, if the taste is inside, now that doesn't mean it was absorbed. So let me ask you something. How about if I actually cook something inside of a Kli Cheres, but it never touches the side of the Kli Cheres? So let's say I put a barbecue spit, which was the norm, by the way, right? This was the way that they would actually cook the kachim and the Korban Pesach. You put a fire at the bottom of the tanur, and you suspend the meat over that fire inside of that cheres tanur, and that's the way it roasts. But it never touches the sides of the tanur. As a matter of fact, if it does, it would ruin the Korban Pesach because then it would be cooking it in its own fat and not over the esh, as we learned in Pesachim.
So, but it definitely would splatter, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but it splatters onto actual flames, and therefore it's not, it never asers because it's immediately eaten by the esh. So that we would be semech on. So what about if you just did the actual cooking? Would I need to break the tanur, even though it didn't absorb any of the taste? So do we need bishul and bilua? Is that what the Torah is makbid on? Or maybe the Torah is makbid even just on bishul, without bilua? Says Rava, well, look, it's pretty clear from our Mishnah that the whole point is absorption, isn't it? I mean, it says here, I don't care if you're cooked in it or not. What I do care is that it absorbed the taste, because it says, Echad shebishelbo ve'echad she'ira l'tochoroteach. So it seems that the main focus in the Mishnah is that as long as it absorbs, that's what's going to make it us. No, excuse me. That's not true. All the Mishnah is adding is that there is an additional issue of bilua. The Mishnah never said there is no issue of bishel. I beg your pardon. Bilua below bishul. I wasn't asking. I know how to read the Mishnah. Bilua below bishul okami boil. And I never asked you whether if it absorbs without cooking. I asked you if you cook it without absorption. Don't bring me a raya from the Mishnah, which talks about the opposite case. Maybe they're two separate issues. Bilua and or bishul. Well, Tashma. D'yom Reb Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua, Tanur shel migdash shel matechet haya. That in the Beis HaMikdash, they did not use the standard tanur, which was made out of cheres, and instead they used a metal oven. Horrors, who would ever think of using a metal oven? Anyway, so the question over there is, why did they do that? I mean, the assumption would be that they did that so that you wouldn't have to break the tanur every time that you ended up cooking some of the kachem in it, right? So if you have to, you're going to roast your chatas, you're going to have to break it. And because of that, they want to have a metal oven that you can just use a self-cleaning oven, so there would be no problem. But if it were cheres, then you wouldn't be able to use the self-cleaning oven. Fine. So now, if you're going to tell me that bishul below bilua, the Torah is not makpid on bishul per se, why can't I use cheres? Because if I'm going to be doing all of my cooking in that oven by using a barbecue and suspending it over the oven, if it's not going to absorb, why can't I just have a normal oven? No, I mean, you're not going to use the oven only for barbecued chatas, are you? I mean, you've got all kinds of things you're going to have to actually cook, bake, and touch the oven, as that's the way you do baking. How are you going to cook the shiori menachas? You need to bake them in the tanur. And over there, you have both bishul and bilua. They're put, as we know, put up against the side of the oven. Because of that, we'd have to make it shomatechet. That doesn't prove anything. Well, let's take a look at the din of ovens and absorption of a kli cheres. Is it really true that you cannot use a self-cleaning cheres oven? Well, we had a case of a tanur, the atcho betichaya, so it was used for baking like a regular oven, except in order to avoid sticking, they didn't want to use Teflon, which wasn't healthy, so instead they used animal fat. So they covered it over with some non-sticking fat, but that was fleishix. So because of that, Rabba Bar Ailoi said, you can never use that oven for baking bread. I don't care whether that bread is not intended to be eaten with anything that's milchix, even bimilcha, just to eat bread with a little bit of salt on it. You cannot eat it. Why? Because d'amati l'michla b'kutcha, since the norm was to eat it with a milchika mix, and if it's going to be fleshika bread, then somebody's going to be bound to eat it with milchix. So, okay, so we make a gzera, don't use it. So now, the Gemara said, how could Rabba Bar Ailoi say, there's nothing that you can ever use this bread, this oven for? Doesn't it say that Eila Shineta Isa Bechalav? In the opposite case, when you're going to mix your dough with milk, we have exactly the same halacha. You're not allowed to do that. And if you do, you can't eat that bread. Imlash kola patkula asur mipnei hergel aveira, because we're afraid that you're going to end up using it with something that's meaty. Kayotsebo, furthermore, the Braita says, in the opposite case, ein tashina tatanur ba'al ya, you can't use a animal fat, which the normal thing would be the alya, which is very fatty, but it's not chelev, it's kosher fat. So you can't use the fat tail of that sheep. And if you do, imtash, now look at this, it doesn't say you can never use the oven again. It says, imtash, kol hapat kula asura ad sheyasikat atanur. It says you won't be able to eat any bread from that oven until you actually burned out the inside of the oven by putting the fire in it, right? So you have to be masik the tanur. So you see that you can heat the oven, and that will take out the taste of the alya, and then you would be able to eat bread that was baked in this oven. How could Rabba Bar Ailoi say you're never going to be able to use such an oven again? You're right. To Yufta, absolutely. You can definitely use a self-cleaning oven if it's made out of cheres. And of course we do. That's what we'll use the porcelain coatings on ovens, and we'll still say that it's kosher. Omar le Ravina le Ravashi, but so then I don't understand. Why, if it's true what you just said, that we have a real tiyufta, Rabba Bar Ailoi is wrong, you can actually burn out cheres. So then why did Rav say that if you've got pots that are made out of cheres for Pesach, you have to bust those pots? There's nothing you're going to be able to do with them again. And that's because Rav's shita is, this is only because of Rav's, a combination of shitas that Rav holds. Because, first of all, Rav holds that chometz la'achar ha-pesach is osur ba'ano, which is reviewed as approach. And he also holds that it's osur b'mashu. And he also holds noisin tam livgam is osur. And we don't paskin like that. We paskin that actually the din is that taruvas chometz la'achar zman is mutter, which is like Rabbi Shimon, not like Rabbi Yehuda. And of course, the tam, bechlal, is even less than a normal taruvas. And we also paskin noisin tam livgam is mutter. So this is not nogea la'alocha, but the question is, why did Rav ever come up with such a thing, even l'shitasai? Why didn't he say you must break your pots because they have a tam of chometz in it? Why can't you simply put them in a self-cleaning oven and then you'd be able to reuse those pots because you got out all of the tam of chometz in them? Omar Lei says, Rav Ashi, you know what? Maybe Rav understands that the whole case over there was actually referring to a metal oven. It wasn't referring to a... You assumed that it must be talking about in that case where they used the alya. Maybe it wasn't talking about an oven that was made out of cheras, in which case... Then our whole entire argument breaks down because the entire thing was based on the fact that it said, Achi asikata tanur, and you were the one who assumed that the tanur is a typical tanur that's made out of cheres. But if Rav understands that the tanur is a tanur made out of metal, so then he'll only be matur using a self-cleaning oven if it's metal. Maybe that's how he learns it. Or, you know what? I agree that that's a little pushing it, because, I mean, normal ovens are cheres, and if it meant only tanur shal matechet, it would have said so. So I can give you another answer. Rav also agrees that it's betanur shal cheres, but the reason that he says that the kederes have to be broken is because the oven, where do you put the fire in an oven? In the inside of the oven. But if you're going to do the same thing to your kederot. So you'll put your kedera into a fire, but the fire is not going to be the inside of the kedera. The fire is going to be in the outside of the kedera. So maybe if the heat is applied to the same place where the bli'ah was, maybe over there you can actually be masik the tanur. But if you're going to apply it on the outside when the bli'ah was on the inside, heat applied to the outside is not going to be as effective, and therefore it is not going to be able to be the equivalent of the hasaka. What kind of answer is that? So do it on the inside. I don't understand. So take a bunch of coal, and glowing coal, put it inside of the kli cheres, and then navir hasaka mibifnim. Why do you have to break it? You're right. You could do that. Except that Rav doesn't allow you to do that. Why? Because Chayes Alayu Demitavre, he was worried and made a gezera that since they will often break if you fill them up with glowing coals, so Rav was afraid if we allow you to go ahead and to be mitaken your cheres pots, you'll be making, you know, well, I did almost as good. You're not going to realize the difference between putting the coal inside, putting the coal outside. I don't have to be so machmer to put it inside. I'll just put it in the outside. So because of that, we made like this overall halacha, kli cheres, you cannot actually be mitire it from whatever it is that made it non-kosher. Okay, so if it's something, obviously, that is always heated from the inside, like an oven, there we are mako. And in that case, we will be, in fact, relying on our self-cleaning oven. Okay, gentlemen, fascinating. So we've got into a lot of all places, from Zvachim and from the Dinim of Kachim, we came to understand some very fundamental Dinim about the halacha of klicher she'eno yotzei midei dofyot.